Good morning. We're getting ready to go live on All Saints Sunday. Today we celebrate the people of faith who have gone before us and the people of faith who are gathered here in worship and virtually in worship. Thank you for joining us.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is, in the church year calendar, the Sunday known as All Saints. It's a celebration and a remembrance. Now, if you haven't been around Lutherans before, we don't have to go through a multi-step process to become a saint. There don't have to be any miracles or visions. All you have to do is be a baptized child of God. We believe that we are saints and sinners at the same time. All of us bound to sin, because no matter how hard we try to get things right every time, we mess up when we hurt people. And we do things that interfere with our relationship with God. And so we are sinners. But we are also saints, because we are chosen by God and beloved, known for who we really are, created in the image of God. And so today we celebrate the saints who have gone before us. And there are many. We asked you all to gather names this year for our remembrance. Usually it's just the saints that have gone on in the last year since the last All Saints Sunday. But last All Saints Sunday, we weren't together in the building. In fact, a year or a week before All Saints last year, we were celebrating Reformation Sunday in the parking lot. Do you remember all of that? It's been a weird time. And so we extended the look back a little bit, and we're remembering those saints for a couple of years back. Some of them had funerals, had a chance for us all to have closure. Some didn't. But I think most everyone in here has lost someone, at least that I know. As I look at the list and I look at all of you, I see saints sitting in the pews who have lost friends and parents, spouses, siblings, children, members and former members. I've been here long enough that I remember where many of them sat in the church. And I grieve. And it's okay to grieve. I know sometimes you will hear theology or someone trying to make you feel better that says, don't be sad. They've gone to a better place. But you know what? You can own your sadness. In fact, it's a tribute to them. Your tears are a tribute to those people that you miss. It's okay to grieve and to feel all the feels that come with grief. Jesus even expressed that when his friend Lazarus died. Our text is a little longer than maybe some of you grew up remembering. Jesus began to weep when he heard that his friend Lazarus died. I know some of us memorized the shortest verse in the Bible when we were kids, thinking we were pretty smart, and that was Jesus wept. Well, two words, but most of the kids remembered it because if you had to do a memory verse, pick a short one. But it was an important one to pick, even though we thought we were being smart as children. Jesus wept. One of the key emotions that is expressed of Jesus throughout the Gospels is his compassion. He was deeply moved by many things. And the whole phrase, deeply moved, is he felt it in his gut. He was deeply moved. He wept. And here's where I'd like to come back to the book of Revelation, to our reading for this morning. Because I've preached on the raising of Lazarus quite a bit. And our Gospel of John study group knows what happens after Jesus raises Lazarus, is that the Jews want to kill him all the more. They couldn't just stand at the empty tomb and praise God that Jesus does signs and wonders. They wanted Jesus dead because he does signs and wonders. That's how institutions work. But here's the vision from Revelation, and I know a lot of people get frightened just thinking about the book of Revelation, and you can thank Tim LaHaye for some of that, and you can thank bad theology for some of that, but the book of Revelation was written as a book of hope to a hurting people. It was written late in terms of New Testament writing. It was written after the temple was destroyed. And the temple was so important to the people. Imagine if an occupying force came and tore down this building. You'd be fearful. careful of a lot of things. So the temple was gone, and God's people were shaken. And a lot of people are afraid of the book of Revelation because it's an odd sort of writing. But it is first and foremost a book of hope for God's faithful, a book of hope for God's hopeful. And you all have this book. This is how it ends. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And it keeps on. It says, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. But it also says, death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more. So God doesn't have to wipe the tears away from our eyes, because mourning and crying and pain will be no more. And the one on the seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." You are living in the life of the one who makes all things new. That's a hard thing to hold side by side with grief. You are living in the life of the one who makes all things new. God is always doing a new thing. There will be a new creation. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to take care of this creation. We are. But one day, but maybe in a lot of the days in between, God will be doing a new thing. It happens all the time. Be attentive to it. When you see a new person in church, trust that the Holy Spirit brought them here. Because God is about making new creation. Because the Holy Spirit always needs to have a seat at the table or in the discussion. Anytime Christians are getting together, the Holy Spirit has to be assumed to be there. Because it's the Holy Spirit that stirs up life and new creation. Now that Lazarus story showed that Jesus could even transcend death. Jesus spoke to a dead man and brought him back to life. And that was a sign of his compassion for his sisters. A sign. A foretelling. Let's see, 3 days in a cave, dead. Who else did that? But death does not have the last word. And that is our celebration on All Saints Sunday, on Easter Sunday, on every Sunday. In fact, we're going back finally to singing the Holy, Holy, Holy this Sunday. And Amber's going to pull out all the stops. And in the preface, when we say it is indeed right and our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks, when we finish that up, I say, and so with all the saints, with the choirs of angels and all the host of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
picture. That's the presence of all those saints around us as we sing this unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, Lord God, power of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. That was from Isaiah when he stood in the temple and God shook the sacks off the temple foundation. Maybe it's been a while since you've seen the wonders of God. That's okay. It doesn't mean God's not wonderful. We live in a temporal time. We live in a time when we're reminded frequently that our friendships, our relationships will have an earthly ending. And that means they are to be all that much more cherished for their finiteness. But we also put our hope in the living God who will make things new now and among us, and in the end will make all things new. Hold on to that hope, because God is a God of promise, and God's promises are always good. God is always good on God's promises. So if you are grieving, it's okay. You are not required to feel a certain way. But we come together as the body of Christ, the church, to remind each other that we are grounded in the greatest of all hopes, and we are here for each other. I pray for peace in your hearts, in your spirits, that the peace of Christ may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be blessed. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The God of all grace bless you, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.